Penguin Random House Canada presents Nowhere Exactly, On Identity and Belonging, by M.G. Vasanji. Read for you by Raoul Beneja. In Memoriam, Firoz Manji, Better Late Than Never. About this self, Atman, one can only say, not, neti, neti. He is ungraspable, for he cannot be grasped. He is undecaying, for he is not subject to decay. He has nothing sticking to him, for he does not stick to anything.
Brihadaranyakya Upanishad.
And I have known the eyes already, known them all, the eyes that fix you in a formulated phrase. And when I am formulated, sprawling on a pin, when I am pinned and wriggling on the wall, then how should I begin to spit out all the butt ends of my days and ways? And how should I presume? T.S. Eliot, The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock. Introduction. Ever since, just out of my teens, I left my hometown, Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, to study abroad, I have carried within me a profound sense of loss and uncertainty regarding who I was, where I had come from, and what I had become. I recall telling myself during my first weeks on this continent, "Don't forget." As the months and years went by, I could not escape the feeling that I belonged to more places than one, with the resultant uneasy sense of guilt and betrayal. Memory, personal and familial, historical and ancestral, of the old and the recent, was stretching me out across continents and cultures. In Toronto, now I feel completely at home, having paid my dues as a new arrival and an alien. I now know it with an intimacy and a possessiveness that any settled citizen would feel entitled to. It is the place where I am the most comfortable and feel the safest. It is where I return to, the house in North Toronto. I have crossed Canada coast to coast by road and rail, visited its cities many times over. The thoughts and arguments collected here testify to my belongingness, and yet, whenever I set foot on the ground in Dar es Salaam, there's a spring in my step, a lift in my spirit, my language, my tone, my relationships with people are different. There is a sense of ease. And when I arrive in India, though I first went there only well into my maturity, a voice inside me says that this too is a homecoming, despite its current wave of religious nationalism that would possibly spurn my claim. Am I disloyal to Canada? Have I been disloyal to Tanzania, choosing to stay away when I had left it with a vow to return and contribute to this developing nation that nurtured me? There was a time, not long ago, when the answers to both these questions would have been strongly in the affirmative. For long, I was nagged by this doubt about my honesty, professing one thing while harboring qualifiers. But the passing decades have presented me with two ameliorative viewpoints, healing thoughts. We live now in times of massive migrations, rapidly changing demographics, instant communication over distances that once seemed forbidding. When I left home, a letter from there took 2 weeks to arrive. Canada, in particular, does not demand amnesia, so I would like to think. Racially restricted once, it is now diverse and much more liberal than before. A large percentage of its people were born elsewhere, or are descendants of such people. This new reality, and the positive attitudes to it, have become the defining strengths of this country. I have brought up a family here. At the same time, the part of the world I come from, and which beckons me, has also changed. A new generation has sprung up there, nurtured on social media, not quite as familiar with or sensitive to the concerns that preoccupied their elders so passionately in the newly independent country. It does not need me, The country may take some comfort in my loyalty and my representing it and defending it, in however limited a fashion, in the literary universe. If I could not teach or heal or build there, as I had hoped in my youth, I have made my modest contribution by writing about it and adding to its memories, and it remains indelibly a part of my identity. Canada today is in many ways a far cry from the country I came to in 1980. Mixed and democratically idealistic on the surface, segregated at its heart. It is now more and more recognized by governments and citizens that the different races and cultures that belong to it are all equally part of the national fabric, that some are not more privileged than others because of European ancestry or founding status, a concept whose perversity has become evident in recent times as historical wrongs get increasingly acknowledged. These changes in attitude have been highlighted, perhaps accelerated, by the dramatic discoveries of Indigenous peoples' graves in Canada and the protests that resulted from a series of new police shootings of black people in the United States. How deep these changes will go, erasing attitudes inherited from centuries of racism and imperial domination, remains to be seen. When I think of art and culture, identity and belonging have presented an even deeper conundrum. A nation's culture has deep roots in the past, which is why nationalist demagogues everywhere take hold of historical symbols to make their exclusive stands. Western countries not only claim cultural roots in European antiquity, but also possess a lateral continuity with each other across the Atlantic in shared experiences and memory. The white Canadian artist, someone of European descent, is conscious of this continuity, works within, and adds to it. Canadian art has long sought endorsement and inspiration from Europe and America. How does a poet or novelist, a musician or painter, arrived from another culture, fit into it? Am I a Canadian writer, or an African one, or an Indian one? I have been called all three and have been denied as any of the three. I have also been faulted for not being 100% one or another. Toronto bookstores don't seem to know where to place me. In a pure sense, in an artistic sense, it does not matter. Creative inspiration does not come waving a national flag. A writer writes, that's it. Bus, as we used to say. But that's simplistic. An artist cannot survive in isolation for long. Like an unseen planet in an unknown galaxy, he might as well not exist. Assimilate is a cry often heard. Few people understand what that entails. Assimilation is not a simple, one-way process. For I bring along cultures, histories, and experiences from elsewhere that do not have European roots. For every upheaval in Europe or America, one can point to another in Asia or Africa. For every epic or legendary hero in the West, there are numerous elsewhere. For Athens or Rome, there are Damascus, Cairo, Beijing, Delhi, Timbuktu, Zimbabwe, and more. For someone like me to find a place in that continuum of which Canada is a part, it has to make room for me. It has to adjust its position. Together we must evolve. My memories will fade, and new ones form. They will evolve into new thoughts and structures. And this country will accommodate a bigger world, a bigger history. But will it? The chapters in this volume are a series of meditations over the last four decades as the country has evolved and offered opportunities. An arguable and often refuted claim, but while I would accept various caveats, I believe it to be largely true. Much has changed since I arrived. Currently, diversity has become a key word in our society, sometimes even an opportunistic bandwagon. And to achieve equality, it appears that everyone must wear a label declaring their race, religion, or skin shade. Of Gujarati Indian descent,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?